Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
So as we engage in this discussion on the future of Aaron Rodgers, maybe, just maybe, Tiki, the New York Mets can help us lead the way. Because it was about a year and a half ago, early on in our tenure of working together, where the New York Mets were having a down season. And they had these two veterans, very similar to Aaron Rodgers, I'd say. Two guys that were first ballot Hall of Famers.
Okay.
Two guys that were very old.
I see what you're doing here.
Two guys that I don't even think you'd point to and say they're the reason why the Mets are bad, but they certainly contributed to it. And the Mets had to make a decision. Do they cut bait knowing, hey, long term it's better to move on from this? Or, as I was even arguing back in July of last year, who's better than Justin Verlander?
Justin Verlander.
Who's better than Max Scherzer? Like, how do you replace those guys? That was one of the fears that I know a lot of us had. Even Joe had. How are you going to replace Verlander, bro? And the Mets ultimately decided, you know what? We're not going to run it back with these old men. We're going to trade them away. We're going to eat a big part of their salary. We're going to take our medicine now, and then in the future, we'll come out smelling like roses. A year later, the guys that they signed to replace said players did enough to help them get to the NLCS, and then they paid their medicine on the money, which allowed them to even more freely spend $752 million on Juan Soto. So the Mets avenue that they took a year and a half ago was, hey, let's take our medicine, and shockingly came out really well, really quickly.
Yeah.
Does that teach you anything in the Aaron Rodgers discourse?
No, I mean, a little bit, but not really, because it was, well, I guess the circumstances were similar. We want to win now, so let's go get the best players, in this case pitchers with the Mets, who can help us win now. It's the same thing with the Jets. They thought, we can win now. Let's go get the best quarterback that can help us win now with Aaron Rodgers. I think the difference is that I felt like Scherzer and Verlander, as soon as things went like a little bit south, they were ready to jump. Like, get us out of here. We're good, man. Send us somewhere we can go, I don't know, try to win. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is that. Maybe I'm being fooled, but he feels like he's loyal, right, to what the Jets are trying to do. Now,
I don't know if that's true. I think he's holding his cards close to the vest. You don't think?
Well, to date, it feels like all he's been talking about is, how can I help the Jets? How can I help the Jets? How can I help the Jets? I want to be back with the Jets. But he knows it's not his decision.
Right.
Well, counterpoint real quick. Do you think Rodgers would have the same suitors the way a Scherzer and Verlander teams would want to trade for them? Rodgers may be aware of that, too.
I mean, I'm trying to think of the teams that would look at Aaron Rodgers and say, you can help us right now. Atlanta, but they have their quarterback in waiting. And we're likely to see Michael Penix in the next couple of weeks, or next week or so.
San Francisco, if they don't want to pay Brock Purdy, as I predicted to you 4 months ago.
Maybe. But the point is, Verlander and Scherzer, with pitching in the MLB, they could not be committed and know they'll get a job immediately. I'm not sure Rodgers thinks he's going anywhere.
I also think Aaron Rodgers, to his credit, has handled this well in that he hasn't said, screw the Jets, I want out. He may think that privately, but he hasn't done that publicly quite yet.
No, he hasn't. And it's because he probably knows exactly what Sean is suggesting. Who else wants me?
Right.
And I remember saying this when, before he came to the Jets, it was interesting how everybody was pining for Aaron Rodgers. But the reality was, Aaron Rodgers probably needed the Jets more than more than they needed him.
Right, right, right.
Because who else? Where else was he going?
Right.
He was done in Green Bay. Nobody else was really knocking on the door. It was the Jets or nobody.
Yeah, I think that the comparison of the Mets, even though the sports are so different, is that the Mets decided we're likely to take a step back, but we know at the end this isn't going to work, so let's take our medicine now. Now, luckily, the Mets had a great year in 2024, which maybe we didn't see coming.
It was a hell of a step back.
It was a hell of a step back. It turned out to be a step forward. In the case of Aaron Rodgers, as pointed out by Dom Pell on social media, if they cut him after this season, there would be $49 million in dead money in 2025, where they can either just take their medicine, call it a day, have a year in which they take that step back, kind of like the Mets attempted to do.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Now, they could spread it out over 2 years, but to me, I would take it in 1 year. But here's the thing, as Dom points out. If he's retained for next year, his cap hit the following year, when I assume it's really over, would be $64 million. You're paying the piper at some point. And if you don't believe that he's taking you to the ultimate promised land, then is it worth that price tag 2 years down the road? Like, I get it in the short term. I'm even a season ticket holder now. I want there to be competitive football in 2025.
I don't know if his...
But you're paying that piper, bro.
I don't think his cap hit is that high.
No, it is. They put a lot of void years in there, and that they're going to have to pay that number unless they restructure on some kind of team-friendly deal at some point. And that's the danger that they run into. So, yeah, any argument made about the short term, their best opportunity to win next year is with Aaron Rodgers coming back. I don't know how anyone could dispute that unless you just think Tyrod Taylor is going to be a superstar, you know, at 37 years old or whatever he is now.
No, he's a good backup. He's exactly where you want him to be, available if your starting quarterback gets hurt. But he's not who you're looking for to say, go win us a championship.
Let's get to your calls on this. What do you want to do? 888-808-1019. Let's go to Michael in Stony Brook. How are you, Michael?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. How are you?
Good. What's up, man?
So this is a tough one. I mean, if Rodgers doesn't have any guaranteed money next year, so if they can't restructure his deal to make it cap-friendly that he exits at the end of next year, then you have to just take your medicine. But the other thing is, you can't have $68 million in 2026 as a cap hit and while you try to build something. That's crazy.
That's the problem. That's where it hurts you eventually. You know what I mean? Like, it gives you a good chance in the short term, and then you got to keep your fingers crossed that the 41, 42-year-old stays healthy, but eventually you're taking an awful amount of medicine.
Well, the problem is then say goodbye to Sauce and Garrett if you have what's basically a tank year next year. These kids are sick of losing. They're not going to stay for 2-15 or 3-14.
But you know what, Michael? I disagree with you, first of all, because I don't think they have a choice at this point.
Right. They're there until after 5 years if the Jets want them to be there for 5 years.
No doubt. I think the Jets are too... Maybe I'm naive, and you could slap me across the face here. I think the Jets are too talented with better coaching to go 2-15 or 3-14. I know they've had a year this year in which their record is awful, but wouldn't we mostly agree that a big part of that was the horrible coaching that they've had this season?
Yeah. I mean, well... I can't even say it was horrible coaching. I think it was a horrible owner decision that led to horrible coaching, right?
I don't think the coaching was great before that, but I get your point.
We never saw it because we did see a game against the New England Patriots where it was fantastic, both sides of the ball in that game. Now, I know the Patriots are compromised and not very good, but it just things felt crisp. It felt this is what it's supposed to look like. I remember, right, you guys, right? This is exactly why you needed to have patience. And then, 2 games later, you fire the head coach, and disrupt everything. And so, who knows what this season could have been? And I'm not saying they're good and they were going to win a Super Bowl. They're going to beat the Chiefs or compete with the Bills. I'm not saying any of that. But at the minimum, they could have been a playoff team.
No, and they should have been. And if they had good coaching, they may have been, which is why if they get this new hire halfway right, they're not bad enough to be as bad as our last caller described.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that as like that's a bad thing because it's good that they have a lot of talent. It's good that you can see how they can turn this quicker because of the talent they have on the roster. But if your idea is, hey, they just got a tank. They got to basically do what the Giants are doing right now, get a top pick, get your quarterback, and call it a day. I don't think that's likely to happen with better coaches with the talent on this roster.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to put it all on coaching because coaching puts you in position. But at the end of the day, it's players have to make great happen. And the Jets have good enough players to make great things happen. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so yeah. It's easy to just say coaching, 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 coaching. But a coach never takes a snap, right? A coach never takes a hit or breaks a tackle or catches an improbable pass or whatever the situation may be. And so they have the players to do that. And the coaching gets too much emphasis, I think, sometimes. Credit and blame.
Let's go to John in Somerset, New Jersey. How you doing today, John?
Pretty good. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, man.
I just want to take it back, Evan, like to the beginning of the season, if you can just go back in time.
Yeah.
And if you think of, well, someone tells you you're guaranteed to have Rodgers at this point in the season with 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, approaching 4,000 yards, you would think you had a pretty good quarterback, right?
Yes.
Well, that's what you got.
I know.
And if you only had a decent offensive line, he wouldn't have to rush the throws. The receivers need to be more disciplined. You need a coach in there who's going to instill the discipline in the linemen and in the route running. And I'm telling you, if he comes back, you know Rodgers' history in terms of being determined. I think he's going to take this offseason, get very healthy. And you're going to have a decent year next year.
He may be, but John, he may be healthy going into next year, and he may be healthy right now, but next year is his age 41 into 42 season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're just assuming he's going to remain healthy?
That's the challenge. You just don't know. At some point, even with Tom Brady, who felt timeless, and he was never going to get old, his last year in Tampa, he just couldn't do it anymore.
Right. Now, what I am happy about, like, because you do look for some positives over the course of a football season, is Olu Fashanu is the left tackle. Like, period, stop, it's over. They may have found themselves a left tackle, and I thank Joe Douglas, even though he's gone now. Mm-hmm. He's not dead. He's just not the GM anymore. He's actually on the Ravens sideline over the weekend. Right. Visiting some former friends. Or was it the Eagles sideline? Actually, it was not the Ravens. I think it was the Eagles sideline.
He was at that game.
Yes, he was at the Eagle game. So I like that Olu Fashanu is going to be their left tackle. I love that AVT is blossoming and has been mostly healthy. I love the fact that they are developing an offensive line that has some solidness to it.
Right.
But
this is three good players on that line.
And that's fantastic. But I just can't assume that because he's healthy now, he's going to be healthy next year. And our last caller brings up a point that makes me sick. He's right, but it makes me sick. If we sat here on September 5th and said Aaron Rodgers will play all 14 games, he will have thrown 23 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, I would have said, this is a fun year.
Right.
We're having fun. This is good. And oh, by the way, they're going to trade for Davante Adams, right? You told me only those things. He's played every game through 14. He's 23-8. He's thrown for 3,200 yards, and they added Davante Adams. I'd say they're 10-4. Maybe they're 9-5.
Right.
Worst case scenario, they're 8-6.
Yes.
To tell me all that, and oh, by the way, they're 4-10. You know what that proves? Stats lie. That's what it proves.
Yes, absolutely it does.